Amen. Before I get started, got a little, I feel a little comical a little bit. Be quiet, Miss Candy. How you going? I hear you. The Lord really has been, you got to be real careful when you decree or you say things like, Lord, I want to be as they that love not their life to the death. Because he'll come get you, man. In the middle of the night, he'll come get you. And he'll wake you up, you know, real early to spend time with him. So I had treatment yesterday. Went to bed at 8:30. I was real tired. I said, yes, I'm tired. I'll sleep the whole night. I'll wake up at 6:30. I'll get about 9 hours of sleep. I'll do good. He didn't wake me up last night. It had nothing to do with him. Went to bed at 8:30. Woke up at 11:30. I said when I woke up, yes, time to get up and pray. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning. Check my phone. Siri, what time is it? 11:30. I said, my God, 11:30. So then I went back to sleep. Woke up again. Siri, what time is it? 1:30. Oh my gosh, man. And I couldn't go back to sleep. It wasn't the Lord. The Lord didn't wake me up. I woke up. So I've been up since 1 o'clock. Yeah. Here's the funny part. Wake up at 1 o'clock with no coffee. My wife's asleep. Homer needs coffee. My wife's asleep. Homer, for the time being, can't make coffee because he's got little eye issues. But my wife's asleep. So, oh man, I can't wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning to make me coffee. I can't do that. Maybe I'll try it at 1:30. No. So, 1 o'clock, I said, I'm just going to get up and start praying. I'll just start praying. I'll just open up my Bible, Colossians, just began to hear, pray. I always start out with worship first, always. That's just what you do. And that's what I do. Started worshiping Jesus. I'm starting to worship in Jesus a lot in Spanish. I'm starting to really learn a lot in Spanish. So, 1 o'clock, I start praying. I said, man, I want some coffee. 2 o'clock, I want coffee even more. 3 o'clock, I thought about it. She won't get mad. She loves me. Couldn't do it. 3:30, I thought again. I'm praying in the Spirit now, going through the Word. Should I or shouldn't I? I couldn't again at 3:30. 4 o'clock, I still wanted coffee, Pastor Brompton. I figured if she would have been hearing God, she would have woke up and made me coffee. So 4:30, I want coffee. I've been up for a while. I just need some coffee. I ain't gonna lie, I needed some caffeine. 5:30 gets there. I said, no, it's okay. I'm going. She gonna make me some coffee. Honey. You know that what is not exactly a what I love you, it's what? Honey, sweetheart. I call her sweetheart. Beautiful, I'll call her beautiful or sweetheart. I want my coffee. What? I want my coffee. She said, what time is it? I knew she was going to ask me that. I knew it. So I've been reading Proverbs a lot. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But he that deals truthfully is his delight. Oh, man. She asked me what time it was. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But he who deals truthfully is his delight. So I added exaggerations to the word lie in the proverb. You can't exaggerate either. So she said, what time is it? I said, 5:30. It's going to be 7. Did you get that? I said, I didn't lie.
It's 5:30.
It's going to be 7 pretty soon. Oh, okay. That's what I said. So she got up. It's not going to be 7. It's 5:30. I said, it's okay. I'm sorry, baby. You love me, don't you? Yeah, I love me. It took her a while. She made the coffee. I tore that junk up. So, I've been at it all day, not because of God's grace, because of 16 ounces of nice organic coffee with a little bit of French vanilla. And I've been up and I've been wired all day long. It was a big old cup that I drank. So thank God for my wife. She got me my coffee. It took her a while, but at 5:30 in the morning, I'm blessed. And plus, I got my Social Security check this week, so she was extra nice. So, but yeah, I've been up for a while, but it's okay. I'm doing real good. I think I got some night owl descending in me because I can go on 3 hours sleep, 4 hours sleep. I can. I've done it a lot the last couple of weeks, and I don't know how I do it, but I do it, and I'm restricted by God. Last night, I was just up. I couldn't sleep, but he'd been waking me up every morning about 3 o'clock, and I've been having a blast in the Word, a big-time blast in the Word. So tonight, what she did, she heated up 16 ounces of coffee already, made it. So in the morning, I just got to hit the microwave, beam, and heat it up. So she's prepared tonight. But I'm glad to be here. We're going to start in a little bit. The Lord's been waking me up about 3 o'clock in the morning the last couple of weeks. It's a wonderful thing when you can say things like, Lord, I want to be as they that love not their life to the death. When you mean it, God will give you grace, man. And at 3 o'clock, he's been waking me up. I used to start at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. But he's been waking me up at 3 o'clock. And I know it's him because as soon as I go ahead, Marty, a little bit. Harry, somebody. The other night, I turned one time in my sleep. The book of Ephesians was going through my spirit. So I got up at 3 o'clock. I knew it was the Lord. So I just got up, my feet on the ground, and began to go through the book of Ephesians. I felt the Holy Ghost I felt the Holy Ghost instruct me in my spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look up the tenses. Present tense, complete tense, perfect tense. In these words, look up the tenses. So that's what I did. I opened my Bible and I began to dissect words and what tense they were in. And lo and behold, I didn't know that such a tense existed. It's called the aorist tense, A-O-R-I-S-T. And it's from the Koine Greek. And lo and behold, that thing just shocked me when I found out what aorist tense meant. And it just did some A-O-R-I-S-T, aorist tense. You got perfect tense, present tense, future tense. This was aorist tense. I didn't know it existed till about a week and a half ago. I began to research it. I began to go into Ephesians. I mean, the book started opening up to me like never before, man. I wept. I cried. I shared with my wife last week. I said, honey, sit down, baby. I got to tell you what the Lord's been showing me. She sat down, still mad about the coffee. No, just playing. And she said, oh, my. She said, oh, that's good, honey. What are you going to teach it? I said, baby, instead of teaching it, baby, I just want to be taught it. I want to become it, baby. I want to teach it. Yeah, I want to teach it. But I want to become it. And then as I was walking out of church Sunday, Pastor Bong said, by the way, you're teaching Wednesday. I said, okay, I guess I'll teach it. It's changed me a little bit. The tenses, perfect tense, complete tense, present tense, aorist tense, A-O-R-I-S-T, aorist tense. That means complete tense. You can't add nothing to it. It's done. It happened. It's done. Matthew 8, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. The word took and the word bear are used in the aorist tense, meaning he did it. It's done. Don't ask him to heal you. He already did. Now, if he did it already and it's in the aorist tense, that means all I got to do is believe it now. And I believe it by thanking him for what he did in the aorist tense. He took all my infirmities. He bore all my sicknesses. It's done. Now I just got to lift up my hands and thank him for his mercy and grace that restored my spirit and healed my body. That's what aorist tense means. It is done. He did it once. He can't do it again. It's done. His blood has redeemed me. That is aorist tense. And I didn't know that. So then I began to meditate Ephesians. But this morning I woke up, not by God's grace, because I just couldn't sleep. And I went straight into the book of Colossians. I've been there about a month or two in Colossians. Colossians was written about 61 AD, about 30 years after the death of Christ. It is northern Turkey. It still exists today. And I'm so shocked. Because he says in Colossians exactly what he said in Ephesians. The same exact thing. You're going to really enjoy what the Holy Ghost has showed me. Obviously, there was some, I needed this for myself. If not, he wouldn't have woke me up. He didn't wake me up to teach it. He woke me up so I could be taught it and become it. And it's done a wonderful work in me the last week. Oh, a lot of tears. My wife said, you need to teach it. I said, I know, baby. I'm just excited that I'm being taught it. And I went into Colossians today and I found the same exact thing that he said in Ephesians 4. He said in Colossians 3. Little tangent, side note. I've recently in my prayer times, they've been so intense, so dynamic, so awesome, so intimate. I'm so hungry, man. I'm so hungry for God because there's so much need. We have to live in kingdom, man. The last year, Nathaniel's wife, Maya, lost a baby. I lost my son, Quentin, 6 months ago. My son, David, him and Jayla lost a five-month-old baby named Genesis about 2 weeks ago. That one hurt now because she lost a baby inside, so she had to push the baby out. So they held that baby in her arms, in their arms, for 24 hours. Little tiny baby in their hand. That one hurt. That one did hurt. And I prayed for all of them. Chabela, my friend, I will see her at the rehab. She died 3 weeks ago. My buddy Will, when I came up here and prayed for him, said he was going to hospice. He died. There's five people that I prayed for, and they all died. What do you do, Homer? Do you change the gospel? Do you edit the gospel? Do you say, si Dios quiere? Do you say, it's just not God's will? No, I don't say that. I know God's will. I know his will. So I'll go back into my closet. And I fall in love with Jesus Christ more and more. More and more. I often pray for him. Mavis and Maya. Maya's pregnant now. Going to have a baby named Naya. Mavis is pregnant. I pray for her baby all the time. I pray for her neighbor Mona's baby. Praying a lot for them because Satan wants our children, man. He wants our children. Been praying for Sarah a lot lately. A lot. Been praying a lot, man. And I've come to this conclusion, the body of Christ, the tangent. We talk more about the a lot that we go through. We talk about it a lot. A lot. Instead of talking about the a lot that lives in us. Yeah. There is a big difference. The a lot that is in us is a lot more than the lot that we go through, man. But we magnify the a lot that we go through because it's human reasoning. Instead of talking about the a lot that's in us. Who's the a lot that's in us? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Don't magnify the a lot that you go through. You want to talk about a lot? Look at the life of Christ. That is a lot. Yet he never murmured a word about what he went through. He went through it. Don't talk about the a lot. Don't magnify the a lot that you go through, man. Magnify the a lot that lives in you. Because the a lot that lives in you is a lot more than the a lot that you go through. And the a lot that's in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's magnify that. Let's put kingdom in our mouth instead of putting a lot of mirages in our mouth. If we keep putting the mirage in our mouth, we'll become that mirage. Yeah. So led me to studying the tenses in words. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, chapter 1, verse 27, not verbatim, just, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach. So vital. Christ in you, the hope of glory, him, a personal pronoun about Christ in us. He used a personal pronoun, Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach. Luke 11, verse 1. They said, Lord, teach us. They said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. They said to him, personal pronoun, the same pronoun they used when they were with the physical Christ is the same pronoun Paul used when he was with the spiritual Christ. Are you with me? Are you getting this? There, me and Harry talked about this about 2 weeks ago. Is Harry in here? Remember the talk we had, Harry? Christ, when they talked to him, they used a personal pronoun, him. When they got born, when Paul was born again, he used the same personal pronoun, Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach. Same pronoun with the physical Christ, the same pronoun with the spiritual Christ in us. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? I have had spiritual amnesia, man. I have had spiritual amnesia. Yes, we've served Christ over there, but you can't serve Christ in heaven unless you serve Christ in here. There is no drop off when the apostles walk with him physically, then when me and you walk with him spiritually. The same pronoun was used, man. There is no drop off. We wouldn't say half the things that we say if we knew who Christ was. It's the same thing as walking with him personally, physically. The same thing when we walk with him spiritually. Nothing has changed. Nothing, nothing, nothing. If I walk with Christ, me and my wife walk with him physically, will I ever raise my voice to my wife in front of the Christ? Will I ever confess ungodly in front of the Christ? Never. I'd be a good little boy. Then why have I had spiritual amnesia for so long, man? The Christ in me is the same as the Christ they walk with for 33 years. Nothing has dropped off, man. The same pronoun, personal pronoun, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him, Christ in you, him we preach. Luke 11. Lord, And they said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. They were with him physically. The same pronoun was used when they were with him physically. Paul used the same pronoun as Christ within him. Spiritually, are you with me? I had spiritual amnesia, man. I thought, and I was to an extent serving God at the right hand side of the Father. If I'm serving God on the right hand side of the Father, I'm serving Christ in me. I cannot serve him there if I don't obey him here. When I confess with him, walking with him physically, I have to confess now that I'm born again with him in me. The same pronoun was used. That excited me. I repented. I cried. I said, Lord, forgive me of my spiritual amnesia, Lord. Nothing has changed. They walk with you for 33 years. And we said, oh my God, if only I could walk with Jesus. They're so lucky. Or they're so blessed. No, we're blessed. Because the Christ they walk with physically is a Christ that lives in us spiritually. So we walk with him to the same exact capacity. Nothing has changed, man. Nothing has changed. Colossians 3, starting in verse 11. What did I just quote in Colossians 1:27? Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach. Colossians 3, verse 11. Christ is all and what? In all. Do you see your resemblance there? Christ in all, Christ in us, Christ, what is it again, Pastor? My mind just went blank.
Christ is all and in all.
Christ is all and in all. We're going to go from verse 11 to verse 16. Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy. Listen to what he said. Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. You know what makes us the elect of God in the context of that verse? That Christ is in us. Now we're the elect of God. Now we're here to do his will. Notice what he said. Christ, Amanda. Christ, Maddie. Christ. By the way, our friend Amanda is here. She's been in nursing school in Miami. She's here visiting us, Pastor Bonk. Yeah, so we're glad to see our friend Amanda. Me and my wife are real close to that young lady, so we're glad she's here. By the way, they own an ice cream shop in Almeria, and they got a good acai bowl. Oh, they got some good stuff there. Anyway, just I'll throw that in there. And she's here with her grandmother, so we're glad to have them here. Now, where was I before I went off on Melt, the ice cream shop? Where was I? Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. I bet you don't know what tense put on is used in. The aorist tense. Put on tender mercies. Put on tender mercy. Let me tell you what put on can mean. Christ is in us, right? When you obey Christ, when you're born again, you have a conscience, a godly conscience. When you put on the new man, you obey Christ in you. And when you obey what you know to be right, you're putting on the new man. If you disannul what you know is right, you're putting on, you're not putting on the new man. You're obeying your carnal mind. He said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, Homer, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another. Here we go. forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Now, before you amen what I say about forgiveness, you better wait till I get done. We're going to judge ourselves whether we are forgiving or not. We're going to judge ourselves. You're going to judge you. I've judged me already. I didn't like what I found out about myself. We're looking for the tenses. And what the tense is on this word, is it past tense, complete tense, perfect tense, future tense? The Lord woke me up, said, look up the tenses in the word. So I did. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, Harry, put on, Miss Kenny, bowels of mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Another word for long-suffering is the word be tolerant, forgiving one another. If anyone have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Listen to me carefully now. Another tangent. You remember Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus on Matthew 13. It's recorded where he washed their feet. Well, I haven't really studied it. Pastor brought mine no more than me. That was about a day or two before the actual resurrection. Is that true, Pastor? A day or two or three times before that? Do you know? Somewhere exactly around a couple days before the actual resurrection. The crucifixion. He washed their feet before he was crucified. For 33 years, his followers didn't know that Judas Iscariot was a betrayer. Christ knew who he was, but they didn't know. Proverbs says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. So they didn't know who the betrayer was. Christ knew. In other words, he didn't murmur. He didn't complain. He knew who he was, but Christ didn't walk in forgiveness. He was forgiveness. They never knew who the betrayer was till they finally asked Christ on the day that he washed their feet. Here we go. With all kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against another, even, listen to me, even as Christ forgave you, so you, Miss Gay, so you, Homer, so you, Rosie, you must do. That word must is, it is expedient. It is your obligation to forgive like Christ forgave. How did Christ forgive? Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We say we forgive. But that word forgave, he said, even as Christ forgave you, Amanda, so you also must do, Delma. As Christ, even as he forgave you, Homer, so you, Rosie, must do the same exact thing. How Christ forgave you, Rosie, how Christ forgave you, Homer, you, even, you have to do the same exact thing. Well, let's see how Christ forgave us. That word forgave is in the aorist tense, meaning complete. He can't forgive you any more than what he did. It's over. He forgave you. The word even in the Greek, it's a template. Just as Christ forgave you, Homer, even as he forgave you, he is the template. He is the example of forgiveness, Homer. But we have normalized forgiveness. We say we forgive, but we tell the whole world what somebody did. Let me use Harry and Sarah as an example. Nothing against them. I just ask. Let's say me and Harry got an issue with each other. We're talking about even as Christ forgave you, so you also must expedient. It's your obligation to do as Christ did. He is the template. He is the example. So let's say me and Harry got a problem with each other. We get into the church. We exchange words. He goes home. Tells Sarah. That's his wife. Or I'll go home and tell Rosie. So she can agree with me to talk about Harry. Harry goes and talks to Sarah so she can agree with him and talk about me. That's not forgiveness, man. We have normalized that. We've called that forgiveness. We've Americanized forgiveness. It's none of Sarah's business what Homer and Sarah and Harry went through. It's not Rosie's business. It's me, Harry, and the blood of Christ, man. I have failed. I've had spiritual amnesia, man. Not knowing the Christ that's in me is who I am to obey. He said, even as Christ forgave us, so you also must do. When Christ forgave, oh, that Homer, I forgive you, Homer, but let me go whisper in Bronx here, tell him how bad you are. No. That's not the aorist tense forgiveness. The aorist tense forgiveness is, he forgave me, man. And it was over. If I forgive Ms. Gay, I have to tell my wife what she did to me? That's not forgiveness. The aorist tense is this. Ms. Gay, I forgive you. Over. Over. That's the definition of the word. Even as Christ forgave us, so ye, Homer, also must do. Just as he is the template, he is the example how he forgave Homer, you better forgive. Why? Because he that forgave had God's spirit in him. And guess what spirit I got in me? God's spirit to forgive. Now, we all want to forgive like that. If we mess up, get under the blood. Forgive us. But we don't normalize it. I don't say I forgive Harry and bring up what he did wrong to my wife every time I see her. That's not forgiveness, man. That's an Americanized forgiveness. That's not even a gospel forgiveness. He said, even as Christ forgave you, Homer, so you also must do. That is true Christ-like forgiveness in the aorist tense, A-O-R. I-S-T. That's the forgiveness that Christ in you offers out of your spirit. We just gotta keep our mouth shut. He that guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Troubles, plural. Even as Christ has forgiven you, so even as Christ forgave us, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, and let Homer, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, by the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Here we go. Listen to this now. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word richly could be translated or interpreted, let it permeate in you. Let it be abundant in you. Let it lavish you. Let the word, allow it. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, in the immediate context, this is the word of God right here. But in the immediate context, verse 12 through 15 is the word of God that's supposed to permeate in us. What's the word of God? Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone have a complaint against another, just as Christ forgave you, so you also will do. That's the word of God that must dwell in us richly. In context, in the immediate context, verse 12 through 15, chapter 13, is the word of God that's to permeate every room in our being, man. In the simplicity of that. Now, it is broad. This is the word of God. But in the context of the letter, you let love, you let kindness, humility, you tolerate people, you forgive people. The word of God is going to dwell in you richly, man. Amen. It will permeate you. It will be a sweet fragrance to all your being, man. Why? When we obey love, when we walk in humility, when we walk in meekness, or we bear with one another and forgive, we're obeying Christ in us. He's crying out inside of me, like if I walked with him physically for 33 years, I would forgive because he'd be next to me and he'd hear me. He's inside of me. He knows my motive. He knows if I'm hiding malice behind the Bible verse, man. Christ in me is crying out, have kindness, Homer. Meekness. Bear with it, Homer. As I forgave you, Homer, so you also must do. If anyone have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And let the, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, by the which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let allow the word of God to lavish you, man. What word of God? Verse 12 through 15. You let that lavish you. Every room in your being will receive the sweet fragrance of who Christ is, man. Let it permeate your being. When you put this in you, when you personalize this, Christ, yes, I love you in heaven, Lord, but you're here. When I obey you here, I obey you there. It's simultaneous, but we got to obey him here. That's why I failed. Let me judge myself. That's why I failed as a believer at times, because I had spiritual amnesia, not knowing that that serving God was when I obeyed my conscience. When even any little thing, serving God was obeying here right now. Serving Christ up there is obeying Christ in here. I personalize. It's personal now to me. What I say, how I conduct myself, what I do, it's like I know now. I say all the time now, Christ in me. Me and Christ, we are in union. I say that 20, 30, 40 times a day. Cristo en mí, yo en Cristo, estamos unidos. I say that all the time now. Christ in me, me in Christ, we are united. Cristo en mí, yo en Cristo, estamos unidos. We are united. I say that to myself to realize that my daily walk is with him. It's not distant. He's in me, man. Christ in me. Me in him. We are united. Cristo in me. Yo en Cristo. Estamos unidos. We are united. No more spiritual amnesia, man. I walk every answer ought to be with grace. Every comment ought to be with grace. Every action ought to be by me hearing him inside of me. Obeying my conscience is obeying Christ in heaven, man. We got to personalize this walk. Personalize it. The same pronoun was used with the physical Christ than with the spiritual Christ. Why? Because nothing has changed, man. Nothing has changed. That's why there's been failure. That's why marriages don't work. That's why there's gossip. That's why there's malice. We have not personalized our walk with our everyday walk. He knows what we want. He knows our intention. How we answer our wives. How we answer our husbands. What jokes we say at work. Here's one that's going to really rattle your cage. When I was a businessman, I was a good businessman. Not because I was intelligent, because I kept my appointments. If I said I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock, I was there at 3:30. I kept my word. I was on the verge of making a lot of money before I went blind. I always, it's a pet peeve of mine, I always returned phone calls. Always. And if I couldn't make an appointment, I would leave them a voicemail. Hey, this is Homer, but I'm good with Biogas Heritage Propane. I'm running 5 minutes late. I made that phone call. And 9 times out of 10, when I offered a contract to a potential customer, I got it. Not because I was smart, because I called them by name. I shook their hand and I kept my appointment, and I always return phone calls. That's just 101 business etiquette, man. And now I'm like that in the kingdom. Somebody called me today. They said, I called you. I said, okay. I can't see. You say you called me. I'll only find out at 5 o'clock, my wife comes home from work, she checks my missed calls. If you need to talk to me, text me. Leave me a voicemail. I promise to call you back. But I can't call you back unless I know you called me. Lying lips are an abomination of the Lord, but he will deal truthfully his delight. How many times in the body of Christ have we said, I didn't receive the text? Well, I never said I texted you. Instead, if we said, I didn't get your call, you were right there by the phone. You just didn't want to pick it up. And that's fine. That's your right. We can't lie about it. Don't ever say, I didn't get the call. Don't say, I didn't get the text. Just say, I was busy. There's nothing wrong with that. If you get the call back, that's not a sin either. I forget sometimes. But don't do it deliberately. Christ, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Integrity, man. Christ is in us. He walks with us. We walk with him. Christ in me, me in Christ, we are united. Cristo en mí, yo en Cristo, estamos unidos. We're one with him, man. We're one with him. This is my confession every day, every day, every day, every day. Jesus, you sanctified my spirit at the rebirth. I have been created according to God in true righteousness. In holiness, I say that over and over and over and over again. Jesus, you sanctified my spirit at the rebirth. You created me in true righteousness and holiness. And guess what that word created is in the Greek? You guessed it, in the aorist tense. Christ is in you, man. He can't be in you more than what he is. You've been made in true righteousness and holy. Your spirit is sanctified, man. Christ lives in you. His blood cleansed you, man. We don't lie. We don't. Have you before? Have you exaggerated, homie? Yes, I have. Not anymore. We don't exaggerate. We don't lie. We don't say bad jokes. We don't flirt with other people's wives or like. We obey our conscience in everything, man. The pronoun Christ in me, the same pronoun that was used to walk with Christ physically, nothing has changed, man. Nothing, nothing, nothing has changed. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The days of spiritual amnesia have to be over. We serve Christ exalted to the right side of the Father by serving Christ in our spirit. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So really, have we normalized forgiveness? Do we say we forgive him, but we tell the whole world what they did? Do we tell our wives what Rosie did? Do we tell our wives what Marty did? Do we tell them? Do we tell our husbands? That's not how Christ forgave. He forgave me in the aorist tense. It was complete. He didn't murmur it to nobody, man. For 33 years, the 11 apostles didn't know there was Judas Iscariot that would betray Jesus. Why? Because the talebearer reveals secrets, but he of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Proverbs says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. Yes. Now I know why I'm not in revival. But if we live in kingdom, man, we're going to see kingdom. No more spiritual amnesia, Homer. No more. The same Christ they walk with for 3 or 4 years is the same Christ that lives in you, boy. You haven't lost a lick. Christ is in you. Christ in me. Me and him. We are united. Cristo and me. Yo en Cristo. Estamos unidos. We're one. Another thing that I say all the time, if you have aught against any, Pastor Bronk is my pastor. He's the big dog. But there's one above him. His name was Pastor Dave. I asked him one day, me and Pastor Bronk were coming back from the airport. Pastor Dave's always smiling. Always, you know, he had that little goofy look, you know what I'm talking about? Awesome. So much. I've never met another individual like him in my life. So much love. And I asked him, I don't know if it's verbatim, it's been a long time ago. I said, Pastor Dave, what did I ask him, Pastor? You remember? Why are you always so happy? Or yeah, why do you walk? Why do you walk in so much peace? Why are you so happy about these? A Homer, I have aught against no one. Meaning, the word aught means I don't have anything against anyone. I say that throughout the day. If you have aught, forgive. If you have aught, forgive. I say that all day. I don't want to harbor the first bit of aught inside of me, man. I repeat it in Spanish. Si tienes algo contra alguien, perdona. Si tienes algo contra alguien, perdona. Christ in me, the hope of glory, is the most powerful thing, along with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have no excuse for failure. Let's not glorify the lot that we go through. Let's glorify the lot that lives in us. Because the lot that lives in us is a lot more than the lot that we go through. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elected God, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, Harry, you also must forgive. It is not multiple choice. We can't say we forgive and then rattle what they did to us. That's not forgiveness, man. If that's been me and you, then we just, 2 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, this is the proof that he's our propitiation. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we've messed up, we say we forgive. You say you forgive me, but you rattle your mouth about me. That's okay. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Don't normalize your gossip because you'll sear your conscience, man. The first error that we make, get under the blood, man, and keep renewing your mind. Put on the new man who after God is created. No, I'm sorry, I quoted it wrong again. Put on the new man who is renewed. That word renewed means continually. Continually, as you seek those things which are above, you see Christ, you're being renewed. If you mess up, ask for forgiveness and keep renewing your mind. How? By letting the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it permeate you, man. Let it be abundant in you. Let it lavish every room inside your dwelling. These final words, I shared it last time. I have a big 100-pound dog that I can't stand. And I'm real insecure about the way our house smells. I don't want it to ever smell like a pet. So we have candles in our house. Again, in the context of let the word of God dwell in you richly. A little, not a parable, just a little simple breakdown of what that means. People come to my house. I tell my wife, Pastor Brown's coming over, baby. Miss Candy's coming over. Turn on a candle. I don't want that stinky dog to be stinking in my house. Okay, buddy, I'm on my way. Harry's coming. Oh, babe, Robert's coming. Oh, turn on the candle. Hurry up, turn it on. Robert's here. Oh, get down. Hold up. Let the candle, let the fragrance of the candle fill the room. You with me? Let the fragrance of the candle permeate the house. Let it be an abundant smell in the house. Let the word of God permeate you, Homer, in all wisdom. What word of God? Kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another. Bearing could mean tolerating one another, forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against another, even as Christ, Amanda, forgave you, you also must do the same exact thing. People have hurt us before. We've hurt people before. But we must forgive. He is the template. Just as he did, we're commanded to do it just like he did. Why? Because he did it in a aorist tense. He lives inside of me. So if he physically forgave in the aorist tense, he lives in me. Nothing has changed. So we mess up. Lord, I said I forgave Pastor Bronk, but I remembered about him today. Gonna need the blood. Forgive me, Lord. I forgive him. I forgive Pastor Bronk, but I shouldn't have told Harry what Pastor Bronk did. Go back into my prayer closet, and I put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That is the gospel of the kingdom. The tense there is so vital. Even Miss Gay, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If you don't forgive like Christ did, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, anger, and evil speaking be put away. For you know what that put away is? It's in the aorist tense. With all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgave. Ephesians 4, verse 32, in the aorist tense. If I say I forgave you, Harry, it is over. My wife doesn't have the right to know what you said about me. That's not in the aorist tense. That's not forgiven like Christ in me, man. If you made a mistake way too many times. Now, I'm not talking about we can't have a discussion about church matters. Pastor Bronk is my best friend. He knows everything about me. Except one thing, and I'll never tell him. Nothing that I did when I was in this church. He knows everything about me. Let me finish with this. What time is it? Anybody got the time? Okay. The aorist tense. Complete. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. The word took, the word bore, is used in the aorist tense. He can't do no more than what he did. If he can do no more than what he did, then I just thank him for what he did. Because it's in the aorist tense. It's complete. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you healed me of all manner of sickness and disease. Why? Because your word says you did. And you did it already. Forgiveness has to be in the aorist tense. I choose to forgive you. It has to be over. Give us your grace, Holy Father, to walk as the Christ. Open up our spiritual eyes. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Father, to see the hidden things that are in Christ. All knowledge and wisdom are found in him, Father. So we seek those things which are above, where Christ is. The things that were above, Lord, are in him. And him is above. When I seek him, I find those things which are above. We look for you, Father, diligently. We would be as they, Lord, that love not our lives till the death. Wake us up, Father. 2:00, 3:00 in the morning. Rebuke us. Chastise us. Edify us. Exhort us. I judge myself in your midst lest I be judged. Show me my error. show me my error, Daddy. I want it. Why? Because if you live in kingdom, man, you're going to see kingdom. Five people died in the last year that I prayed for. That is not kingdom. And it's not their fault. I'm the elder. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Whether the Lord didn't want to raise him up, is I lack the faith, but I know where to get it. I know where to find it. And it's doing the message that we're taught in this little Holy Ghost-filled church. So are you with me on the word aorist tense, what it means? So Harry, if you say you forgive me, now the other one, Harry, I asked for his permission to use him as an example. Me and Harry are good friends. We talk two or three times a week. I respect that young man so much. So Harry, you got a problem with me? We get mad at church. And then by the time church is over, we shake hands. So Harry, forgive me. You say, Homer, forgive me. Do you have the right to go tell Sarah what me and you argued about? We can't normalize forgiveness. We can't Americanize forgiveness. Forgiveness must be in the aorist tense. Yes, it's a progression. Yes. Have I made mistakes? Yes. But I have a revelation now of the aorist tense. It's a lot easier to keep my mouth shut. Proverbs, last verse. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. He opens wide his lips will have destruction. A fool utters. A wise man holds it back. Amen. That, my friends, is what the Lord's been showing me. Aorist tense. It's complete. You can't add nothing to it. It's over. He did it. Let's thank him for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Wow. Just incredible, 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 rich, man. I'm telling you, that's one you hear at a conference somewhere or something, man. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm so glad it came here at this little church. Praise God. Let's all stand. Homer, thank you so much for getting up at 2 and 3 in the morning. Hallelujah. And Rosie, make sure you have his coffee. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless this night. We thank you for this powerful, powerful word of God. Lord, let it sink in our hearts. Let it really sink into our hearts and to obey it, Lord. Not just to say, oh, that was a good word, but to really obey it, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that it came by the Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. And we commit all this into you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Hallelujah.